Joel Postman and I, we somehow, I think Joel asked them, can you make a video, a short little video kind of introducing yourselves? And this was the very first video that they ever did, all right? So just, I'm warning you, okay? They have this fearful deer in the headlight look. And it was funny, after they did it, we asked them, well, can you make another one for us and like smile and everything? And so they made a second one, and it was really funny. But his wife is not in it, so we're going to go with the first one. So anyway, so this is kind of a learning process, how to make videos to kind of introduce yourself. So we're going to meet this very young couple. They just got married. They're heading to a new mission field. So let's meet the Mackinsons at this time, and then we will also hear the video from the other couple. Hopefully. Work. So right now what they're talking about, no. All right, well, I'll talk, and if you can get these to work, that's great. I guess that's the blessing and the curse of technology, right? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Well, this young couple, Ronnie and Jackie Mackinson, like I said, they're just newly married. Ron actually grew up in the church that I attended, or I was the pastor of back in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I didn't even know that until I saw this video. But they are going to a brand new mission field in Panama. And so they asked that we pray as they go to Panama, and as they're newly married, there's a lot going on for them all at the same time. And so they're praying that they're asking for prayer that as they go to language school and as they travel around the United States and raise support, that all those things will go well. And then also their marriage. I mean, they just got married, I think back in September. I was just thinking to myself, 1 month after Kristen and I got married, I started my first church. Fortunately, we stayed in the exact same city that we met in. It was 2 miles from where Kristen grew up, and so we had that familiarity between the two of us. But just getting married, learning a new language, and going to a brand new mission field, that's a lot to take in. And so this wonderful young couple, which maybe you'll meet, maybe you won't, hopefully we'll just pray that God will really bless them. And the second video was from the Goulards. Do we even have the Goulards video? The Goulards look like an orange traffic cone right now. And yeah, they just, they've been here at our church a few years ago, and they're just saying hi. And to know the Goulards is to love them. You instantly feel like they are your long-lost best friend for life as soon as you meet the Goulards. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray. Here we go. Here's the Goulards.
We want to say hi to Grace Bible Church in Phoenix, Arizona, and Pastor Josh and all your family. Thank you so much for all your support. Thank you so much for your prayers. We had quite a year and a lot of things to share, a lot of challenges, but we have a lot of blessings as well. And so thank you so much. Thank you so much for being part of this ministry. We just moved to a new location in our church, a
bigger, Grace Bible Church,
more comfortable place, so we hope to reach more people with the grace of God. And we are living in a different apartment as well with 90% of Muslims. And we have a lot of neighbors to share, and we are very happy. So thank you so much. We hope to see you soon, and you are more than welcome to come and join us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
To know that family, they're just so lovable. So hopefully we'll be able to get them back soon when they're back in the United States. And I think we do have the video of the first couple, the Mackinsons.
Arizona. My name is Ron Mackinson, and my wife and I are very excited to speak with you today a little bit about ourselves and a little bit about how we became missionaries. So a little bit about me is I was born in Port Huron, Michigan, and my home church is in Jenison, Michigan, at Grace Bible Fellowship.
Hello, my name is Jackie Mackinson. I'm from southern Brazil in the state of Paraná, and I attend Grace Gospel Church.
So how did we become missionaries? How did God move in our lives and in our hearts to become a missionary? So for Jackie and I both, it's a little bit similar. God started to speak to us and move in our hearts that missions was important in 2016. And when we really saw the importance for missions, we wanted to grow closer to God. So we started to pursue God into wanting to know him better. And also, how could we serve him? And during that time, a few years later, we finally, in 2018, both decided to submit to the Lord and to become full-time missionaries. And at that same time, we actually both met each other, heard each other's testimonies, and really heard about our passions that we had, which were both the same, which it was to go into the mission field and to serve the Lord. We fell in love with each other, and in this past September, we just got married.
And we are new GMI missionaries, Grace Ministries International missionaries, and we are going to the new field of Panama.
But how exactly are we prepared to go to Panama? How are we prepared to go to a new field? And a little bit about that and how God has moved in our lives and worked through us. There's been a lot of ministries that we've been a part of. For me, one of the big ministries in my life was with a team called Breakthrough. Breakthrough is a martial arts mission team, and what they do is they go and use martial arts as an evangelism tool. And what they do is they go and do presentations in martial arts to attract attention to themselves. And it gives them the opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Some of the other ministries that I've been a part of is martial art ministry at my home church. And I've used martial arts and teaching martial arts to others to build relationships with people and give opportunities for me to share something that I love, but then also have conversations with people. And I've really been able to have a lot of fellowship with others and also been able to even study God's word with them. And then another ministry that I've been a part of is being a young adult Sunday school teacher. That's really challenged me to step up as a leader and as a teacher and be able to really invest in some kids' lives during this time of making sure that they understand God's word and how they can be rooted in it and that it is the word of God and the truth, the word of truth.
God prepared me for the mission field through evangelism events using circus performances and dance. I was also in a worship ministry in my church, and I was also in a mission moment in my church where I presented different mission fields around the world to my home church. And I also helped to plan a church with my pastor and others.
So all of these things we hope to take to the mission field. God has prepared us in this way. We have been used to glorify him by these ministries, and we hope to take some of these ministries to Panama. A lot of these things, if it's dance, if it's circus performance, all these evangelism events, or even martial arts, we can use this to build relationships with people, giving us the opportunity to glorify God and be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Going forward into actually starting the field of Panama, we will be the first missionaries there, but we also will be with a team. Another couple will be also going to this to Panama with us. Their names are Alvaro and Malin Barrantes. They are Costa Rican, and God has also laid it on their hearts to become missionaries as well. And we are excited to be a part of that team with them down in Panama.
So our plan is for this coming May, we are going to Nicaragua and spend 1 year studying Spanish. After 1 year in Nicaragua, we are going to move to Panama.
So moving forward, as you are thinking about us and praying for us, we have a few prayer requests that we ask that you might pray for us for. For us, we will be traveling this winter to many different churches to really talk about our ministry and talk about our desire to be in the field. And so pray for us as we travel, as we go to all these churches. Also, going forward, we will be going to language school soon in Nicaragua. We ask that you pray for us that we may have a strong understanding of the language and be able to learn it very well so that we can communicate with people and really be able to bring glory to God by sharing the gospel to the people of Panama. And also, pray for our marriage, that God is always centered in it, and that we always keep him at the center, and we pursue him together, even within our marriage. And finally, if you could pray for the hearts and the minds of the Panamanians, the people of Panama, to be softened, and to prepare them to hear the truth, which is that they can receive an awesome hope by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. We just want to also thank you so much for this opportunity to be talking with you and telling you a little bit about our lives and a little bit about ourselves. So thank you so much, and we hope that you have a blessed week, and we want to just thank you again so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, who knows? Maybe we'll be able to meet them in person someday. After we told them, can you send us another video? He did send us a video, and he is doing karate or taekwondo, and he knocks out like 5 people at the same time. No, I'm just kidding. He doesn't do that. But it was a good video, but Jackie wasn't in it. And so we said, no, we want everyone to see both of them. So what I want to do right now, let's just take a moment and let's pray for these missionary couples. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for technology and just the fact that we can meet Ronnie and Jackie Mackinson, a young couple just married. A lot of challenges, but a lot of sincere faith. Lord, they want to serve you, so we just pray for their marriage. Help them to make that a priority. And as they're going into a new mission field and going to a different country, learning a new language, they have a lot of challenges in front of them. But this is definitely going to be something that strengthens their relationship with each other and hopefully you. And Lord, we also pray for this new field in Panama. They need to meet new people. They need to secure a location to meet, and all these exciting things. Lord, we just pray that you'll open up the door and the opportunities for them. And also, Lord, as they travel around the country, keep them safe, and we pray that the support will be raised so that they can serve you in Panama. And also, Lord, we continue to pray for the Goularts. We're excited for the work that they're doing, as he said, they're in a new place. They have lots of Muslims all around them. They have a very difficult task to reach Muslims with the truth about Jesus Christ. But Lord, you've definitely gifted them with some people skills, and we pray that will open up these doors. So Lord, we just lift up these missionaries before you, and not only these missionaries, but the other ones that we've seen this month and the other missionaries that all of us know personally. Lord, they are serving you in places that we can't and that we are not. And so we pray that you'll bless them and use them to bring more people to a saving knowledge of your son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to go on in our next sermon on our mission statement. And I have noticed something recently, and maybe I've noticed it more recently because we just got through Christmas and I've ordered a few things. But for those of you who order something or you purchase something that has some assembly required, maybe you have noticed I've seen this trend where instructions don't always have words. Sometimes they just have pictures, which I think is a great idea. I think if it's a simple installation, something very simple to do, all you need to do is see a picture. You know, you put this part to this part and you use this screw or this bolt or this nut. I like that a lot easier sometimes than giving it very difficult instructions. And maybe you feel the same way. Sometimes when you're assembling something, there's a lot of difficult instructions. Sometimes there's easy instructions. But one thing that I'm very grateful for is that there's probably someone out there in the world who has assembled what you're trying to assemble, and they took a video of themselves and they posted it on YouTube. How many of you have done that? Just go to YouTube and just Google that. In fact, I did that last night. Chris, I have a motorcycle, which I haven't talked about yet in a sermon, so get ready for motorcycle illustrations. But I have a motorcycle, and I have to get a backrest for Kristen as we're driving around. And so I just ordered that. It came in the mail yesterday. I didn't like the instructions, so I just went on YouTube, and I saw what the guy did, and I did the same thing. So that's wonderful. So instructions. We definitely need instructions in life. Would you like to know the best instruction manual ever given to mankind? It's this right here. It's the Bible. In fact, I don't know if all of you knew this, but the Bible literally means basic instructions before leaving Earth. I'm just kidding. That's not what it means. Although it is ironic that it's very accurate, right? Basic instructions before leaving Earth. Actually, as a kind of a side note, I want to tell you where we get the name Bible from. Bible is from the Greek word biblos and the Latin biblia, which simply mean books. And so when we say the Bible, we're talking about the collection of books into a singular book. And so Bible literally means books, or the books, or the book. And you think, okay, well, where did that word come from? Here's a little extra history for you guys to know. Apparently, the paper that they used to write originally on is from a papyrus plant. And they usually would harvest those somewhere in Egypt. And so they would get all of this papyrus from the seaport of Biblia. So that's where that comes from. So when we say the Bible, we're talking about the books. And Bible literally means the seaport where they got the papyrus to make paper, which paper makes books. So now you know the rest of the story, all right? You know, as we're going through our mission statement, I feel like it's important for us to take a lot of time talking about the most important thing, which is the Bible. Because everything we believe comes from the Bible. So let's talk about what we believe about the Bible. And last week, what we did is we talked about how we believe that the Bible is God's chosen method of communicating with us. And aren't you glad that he did that for all of mankind instead of telling one person who has to tell another person? He wrote this down, made sure that it was written down so that we could know it. And last week we talked about if the Bible is truly God's way of communicating with us, then that means three things. The first is that the Bible is from God, which is fairly obvious, but we need to understand God is the one who inspired and wrote this. The second thing is that the Bible is the truth. It's not just filled with true things. It is the truth. And the third thing is that the Bible then is authoritative. And before we go on in our doctrinal statement and look at the different other things that we believe, I want to focus again on the Bible today, and we'll do one more next week. And today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how the Bible is clear. The Bible is clear. We can understand it. And so every single person who lives in this world needs to ask this question: what does it take to understand God's word? What does it take for us to understand the Bible? And if the Bible is God's chosen method of communicating us, he chose to communicate to us clearly. And by that, what I mean is that God intends for us to use a literal interpretation or a normal interpretation of the word of God. Here's another fancy biblical word. It's called hermeneutics. Some of you might have heard that word before. Hermeneutics is the science of the interpretation of literature, and especially scripture. And so our hermeneutic, or the way that we interpret the Bible, is we do so literally, or we use a normal hermeneutic. And this obviously takes into account that the Bible uses figures of speech, it uses metaphors, it uses poetry, and it uses different genres of literature like apocalyptic literature. Especially if you look at some of the prophecies, you go to Book of Revelation, and it's very vivid and lots of imagery. But basically, what we're trying to say is that God did not choose to communicate to us in code so that only a few people can understand what God is trying to say. He tells us plainly. And he tells us clearly who he is so that we can know who he is and know who we are and what he expects from us. And I know many of you this morning are saying, yep, I already know this, I believe this. But a lot of people don't believe this and they don't understand this. And so it is worthwhile to say publicly, this is what we believe about how to study God's word. And it's not something that we should take for granted. Some people out there in the world, they do think, and you've probably run across people, that the Bible is mysterious and it's very hard to understand, and only a few people are able to understand this. In fact, I had a conversation with a friend of mine growing up in high school, and she told me that they were told by their religion that they were not allowed to read the Bible on their own, that only a few people could read it and tell them what it meant. Is that really the way that God communicated to us? No, I don't think so at all. Our main passage of Scripture this morning is from 2 Timothy 3:16, and we've looked at this before. But let's read this again. This is what this passage says. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so this verse gives us a number of reasons why God chose to communicate with us clearly. And for today, I think maybe the most important word in this passage right here is the word profitable. Some of your translations might say something different. It might say useful. But it says that the word of God is profitable, meaning that we can use it. We can use it for these different things, and that we can use it because it is clear. Well, let's look at three reasons given in this passage that teach us why God chose to communicate to us clearly. And the first reason is this. He did this so that we can teach each other. God communicated clearly to us so that we can teach each other. Again, look at this passage. Verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? For teaching. We can use this for teaching. What God has given to us in the form of history and instructions and everything else within his word is given to us so that we can know him and so we can pass on that information to others. And the information doesn't change over time. So he's given it to us clearly so that we can teach others. You know, this has always been the case. Even when you look at the Old Testament and when you look at the New Testament, it's always been given so that we can teach others what the truth is. There's a passage in Deuteronomy where God is telling the nation of Israel through Moses the importance of teaching each other what God had said in his word. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is what God says to the nation of Israel. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So God is telling them, think about these things, talk about them, share them with others. And the way that we can do that is because, and the reason we can do that is because God communicated clearly, and this is useful for teaching. Now, could you imagine if God had written to us in a very mysterious way that we didn't know exactly what it was saying? How many times would a parent tell their child, this is what the Bible says, and they would be disagreeing with each other? I mean, it'd be like that for thousands and thousands of years. There's no way, if this is not clearly given to us and profitable for teaching, that we can know what this meant if God didn't give it to us clearly. And so that's the first point that we have. The reason why we can know this is clear is because it's profitable for teaching. The second point deals obviously with the first point, and that is this. God chose to communicate with us clearly so that we can know the truth. So that we can know it, so that we can be certain that this is the truth. The Bible also tells us the one thing that God wants more than anything else is for us to be saved. He wants us to have our sins forgiven so that we can be in a relationship with him. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, this is what it says. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, it says, "This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved," and what? "And come to a knowledge of the truth." And so this is what God wants for all of us, to be saved and to know the truth. And so if that's true, and God really wants us to come to a knowledge of the truth, and truth comes from God, then God needs to give it to us clearly. And so as God spoke through the prophets and all the authors of Scripture, he gave it to us so that we can take this at face value and understand what it means. And so again, some of you are thinking, yeah, I've known this my entire life. I know that the Bible means what it says. But this is not the case for every single person out there in the world. They are told that you can't understand this, but this is what we can't understand. If God's words could not be interpreted literally, then you and I would have no possible way of knowing what the truth is or how to be saved. And so even though this seems like common sense, I think it's very important for us to say that we need to interpret the Bible literally. And Jesus actually affirms this, and he does this in John 8, verses 31 through 33, or 31 and 32. He says this, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" The only way that you and I can know the truth is if God gave it to us plainly and clearly. And once we have that truth and we accept it, then that truth will set us free. Well, the third reason why God chose to communicate with us clearly is so that we can live holy lives. So that we can live holy lives. In 2 Timothy 3, 16, our main passage for today, it says that God gave us his word because it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, righteousness is one of those words that we use in church all the time, but righteousness means right living before God. That there's a certain standard that he holds us to, and righteousness means that we meet that standard. What God desires for us more than anything else after we have placed our faith in him is for us to be holy just like he is holy. And if that's his desire for us, then he needs to tell us what that looks like and how we can be holy. And there are plenty of places in Scripture where we find that. But let's look at one of those this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. This is how we can be holy and how we can be righteous. 1 Peter 1, 13, it says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" So this is one of the ways that we are trained in righteousness. We say no to those passions. I think all of us understand this. We read the words here in 1 Peter and we say, "I know exactly what that's saying. I know the passions that he's talking about. I know those things that really lead me to live a life that's not pleasing to the Lord." And so these three points that I've given to you, that God gave us his word clearly so that we can teach, so that we can know the truth, and so that we can live holy lives. This is kind of academic. It's kind of common sense, kind of straightforward. But the million-dollar question that we need to ask ourselves is, well, if this is how we're supposed to read the Bible, then why is it that some of the Bible is confusing? And why is it that not everyone agrees with what the Bible says? And so I have three more points in your sermon. You're getting a double sermon today. You're getting 6 points. That's pretty good, right? And I think these other 3 points are just as important as the first three. Hopefully, by going through these next 3 points, you might say, that kind of makes sense. Now I understand why some parts of the Bible appear to be confusing. So let me give you 3 reasons why some people misunderstand Scripture, okay? The first reason is because Scripture is filled with prophecies. Scripture is filled with prophecies, and not all of them have been fulfilled. And so when you're dealing with unfulfilled prophecies, sometimes that can lead to misunderstanding. And I think a very good example of this was during Christ's time on earth. He told his disciples, "These are the things that are going to happen to me." And he spoke to them in clear, plain language, and guess what? They didn't understand what he was talking about. It was very clear to us when we read it because those have been fulfilled. A good example of this is found in Luke chapter 18. So Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 31, and I have to admit, as we read this today, and we can see exactly what Jesus is talking about, it makes perfect sense to us, and it's kind of frustrating that it didn't make sense to them. But Luke chapter 18, beginning in 31, it says, "And taking the 12, he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise.'" Well, what did Jesus mean by that? Well, he means exactly that, right? It's pretty clear. And yet the scripture says, "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said." And so unfulfilled prophecy can lead to some confusion. Fortunately, all the prophecies that Jesus has fulfilled so far have been fulfilled literally, and we can read of them and say, "Oh, I know exactly what this is talking about, and thank you, Lord, for giving us this confirmation." Interesting thing is, after Jesus had actually done the things that he said that he was going to do here in this passage, after he'd risen from the grave, a couple of the disciples, they were walking on the road to Emmaus, and this is found in the last part of Luke. And actually, I have this verse on the screen. I'll put this up in a second. And as they're walking and talking about all the things that took place, Jesus met with them and has this conversation with them. Luke 24, verse 25. And he said to them, Jesus to the disciples, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself." And so just imagine what it would have been like to be in that conversation. Jesus is saying the prophets said this had to happen and this had to happen, and all of them were fulfilled literally. In fact, later on, I don't have this verse up there, but in verse 32, says, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road while he opened to us the scriptures? And so this is one of the reasons why many people have disagreements and there's misunderstanding in the Bible today, because sometimes we're dealing with prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. There's still a lot more in this Bible that has not taken place. And that's why some of us say, well, this is confusing. I don't know what this means. Because we need to just wait. We need to wait because they will be fulfilled. And I do have to say this. We here at our church believe that all these prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, they will take place exactly as the Bible says they will. And here's the pattern that we have. When Jesus fulfilled prophecies from the Old Testament, he fulfilled them literally in the same way that the prophets said he would do that. And so we believe that the prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, especially dealing with the nation of Israel and the kingdom of God that's about to come, we believe Jesus will fulfill those in the exact same way he fulfilled the prophecies that he did. And so this is one of the reasons why there's some misunderstanding because of prophecies and specifically unfulfilled prophecies. Well, there's another reason why some people find Scripture hard to understand, and that's due to their own lack of faith or the hardness of their hearts. This is the reason why some people can't understand the Word of God. Remember that even though this book is truth, it's filled with true facts, it's still a spiritual book. It reaches into our souls and to our spirits. And so sometimes if someone has a lack of faith or a hardened heart, they're not able to understand some of these things. And I think a great example of this is with the nation of Israel. They were told at a specific point in their history that God was going to give them their own land. He says, I'm going to give this land to you. It's going to be yours. You will live in this part of the land. And God brought them up out of Egypt. He brought them to the doorsteps of the promised land. He had a couple spies go in. They saw the land. They said, yes, it's wonderful. We can go in and let's take it. And what happened to them? They had a lack of faith that God could do it. And they had the hardness of their hearts. And they refused to accept what God said he was going to do. And so when we get to the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, whoever that was, wrote to people today saying, be careful about having an unbelieving heart or lack of faith, because this is what the Israelites did then, back then. Hebrews chapter 3, and this is what this passage is referring to. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Referring to the Israelites in the desert, how they hardened their hearts. And so many people fail to understand what the Bible says because of the condition of their hearts. They refuse to be open and willing to accept what God's word teaches them. Well, finally, there's one other point, last point in the sermon. I want to give kind of special attention to this point. And another reason why some people fail to understand God's word is because they fail to see that God has dealt with different groups of people differently at different times throughout human history. And so the third reason is because we're reading something written to the wrong audience. We might be reading something that was not intended to be given to us. Today, we live in what's called, the Bible calls, the age of grace, where Jews and Gentiles are equal in God's sight. And God deals with all of mankind. And if anyone reads the Bible, you realize that was not always the case. Sometimes he dealt with just the nation of Israel. You know, in our doctrinal statement, I put this up last week, it says this about the Bible. And this last point kind of explains one of these phrases in here. This is what we believe, the Bible. We believe the entire Bible, verbally inspired of God, is completely inerrant in the original writings and is, when interpreted dispensationally, of supreme and final authority in life and faith. Some of you might know exactly what that means, especially the word dispensationally. Others of you might say, what in the world does that mean? And that's what this third point is. Just recognizing that God dealt with different people at different times throughout human history. And I want to kind of give you an example of how this is important. On Tuesday nights, here at our church, this place is packed. We have this wonderful ministry called Awana. We have all these little kids from in the nursery. We have these cubbies, these cute little cubbies, and we have these Sparkies, and we have TNT all the way up through sixth grade. I don't know the exact total, but there's like 50 kids, maybe 60 kids, and we have another 20 leaders, something right around there, and it's great. And all the leaders who go, they're all excited to get there, and they're all excited when it's done so they can go home and go to bed, all right? Kind of one of those ministries. And Kristen and I, we have this ritual. We do this almost every single Tuesday night. When all the kids are gone, I lock up the church, and I head to Cafe Rio for Taco Tuesday. And I do this every Tuesday night. This is kind of our treat. I love to do that. And even though we do this every Tuesday night, imagine if I didn't have a chance to talk to Kristen and confirm this. What if I wrote to her a note, something like, "Hi, tonight after Awana, I'm going to go to Cafe Rio. I'm going to get 4 sweet pork barbacoa tacos, and I'm also going to get some chips and some queso dip tonight. So make sure you don't go to bed so we can eat tacos when I get home." And then I sign my name. And what if she took that piece of paper and she was all excited and she said, "Yippee!" And she threw it up in the air and she walked off. And what if all the Sparkies got a hold of that letter? That's right. And they read the letter and it says, "Hey, he's coming to my house tonight with tacos and chips and queso dip, and I can't go to bed." And what if they went home and they told their parents, "Pastor Josh is coming to our house, and he's got tacos, and he has chips, and he has queso dip. I can't go to sleep." What's going to happen to those poor kids? They're going to be so disappointed. Because I'm not going to their house, right? It was meant for Kristen to read. And yet, what happens, I'm not making a joke out of this. I'm trying to make light of it, maybe, but not making a joke out of this. But sometimes people will take different parts of the Word of God and they will read it and say, "Oh, God is promising to do this for me," and it leads to confusion. One of the greatest examples that we have of this is found in Jeremiah 29:11. For those of you who were just in Pastor Mike's Sunday school class a couple months ago, he did a great job explaining to this. But this is probably one of the most misinterpreted passages in all of Scripture. But this is what Jeremiah 29:11 says, all right? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And that's from the NIV. I like how the NIV puts this verse. That's pretty good, right? And you look at this and you say, wait a second, God has a plan for me, and that includes prosperity. It includes wealth, and that nothing is going to go wrong, and I'm not going to be harmed. And so if you look at this verse and you say, God has a plan for me, and so there must be prosperity in my future. Well, is this written to us? Is it written specifically to you? Well, all we need to do is back up one verse to verse 10 and realize it was written to a specific group of people. Verse 10 says, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place." And if you go back all the way to the beginning of this chapter, chapter 1, or verse 1 of chapter 29, it gets very specific to the very people that this was written to, this plan of God prospering them. In verse 1 it says, "These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, to the prophets and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." And so this passage here in Jeremiah 29:11, a wonderful passage but wrongly applied to us today, is written specifically to the nation of Israel while they were in exile in Babylon. And after 70 years, God says, "I promise I will bring you back home because my plan is to prosper you." And so for us today to take a claim like this and apply it to our lives and say, "This is God's will for my life," it's going to lead to a lot of frustration and a lot of confusion and might eventually lead to people doubting other parts of God's word that is written for us. Well, looking at passages and examples like this, I have good news and I have bad news, all right? The good news is I believe with all my heart that God truly does want what is best for each and every one of us. That's the good news. The bad news is it's not necessarily to be wealthy, right? Some of you say, amen, because that never happened in my life. God also, more than us being wealthy, wants us to be holy. And if we're happy and healthy and holy, then that's a tremendous benefit. And sometimes joy comes from sharing in God's holiness. So I think there can be great harm done in the body of Christ when we wrongly apply a passage of Scripture to us that was not intended for us. But the good thing about this passage, even in Jeremiah 29:11, even though it might not be specifically to us, it does show us and does reveal to us God's character, how he really does want what is best for his children. And that's something that we can apply to us, even though if it's not directly to us. One passage that is directly to us, it's not fun to show this right after the Jeremiah 29:11 passage, but it does say this in 2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All right, so that is for us. And so if you live a godly life, chances are you could be persecuted. So as we read the Word of God and as we accept it clearly, we need to make sure that we're applying it to ourselves, especially the passages of Scripture that are specifically written to us. All Scripture is useful for teaching, and we just need to make sure that we're applying the passages that are written to us for us. Well, this morning I want to close this message with a challenge. We've talked about the Bible for the last couple Sundays, and I want to ask you this question. If this book is from God, and it is clearly written to us so that we can know it, so that we can teach, so that we can know how to live a righteous, holy life, how much time do you spend every day and every week filling your heart and your mind with God's holy word? And as we're going through this series on our doctrinal statement and we're spending time focused on the Word of God, here's the challenge for you. Maybe you already do this. Maybe you say, I know I should be doing this more often. But I challenge every one of you for this week, especially this week, because this is written to us, it's clear we can understand it. Spend time every day this week, these next 6 days leading into next Sunday, reading from God's Word with the expectation that when you read this, you'll be able to understand it and you'll be able to apply it to your lives. And so I hope that you'll take that challenge. And I won't necessarily call anyone out. And if you didn't read the Bible, that's fine. That's between you and God. He'll get you. No, I'm kidding. But you know, there are countless blessings found in the fact that God has chosen to communicate with us clearly. And the biggest blessing is, by reading the Word of God, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt who Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. He did come from the Father. He did die on the cross for our sins. He did rise from the grave so that we can have the hope of eternal life. That is the most important part of this entire word. And so let's close right now in prayer, and let's thank God for giving us his holy word and teaching us the truth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you that we have the freedom in this great country that we live in, that we can gather together this morning and we can open up your word that you've given to us, and we can understand it clearly. And Lord, I think this is a foundation that is so important that we need to continue to lay this foundation of what we believe about the Bible, what the Bible teaches us about itself, so that we as a church, as we move forward, we know the firm foundation that we stand on. And I realize that there are people in this room that have believed these things for many, many years, but we also need to understand you've given us this privilege and this responsibility to teach this and to share this with the next generation. And it's so fun to walk around in the halls of this church and watch your kneecaps because all these kids are running around. Lord, what a precious resource you've given to us through our Awana ministry, our youth ministry, and having these nurseries overflowing with kids. Lord, put it within all of our hearts this passion and this desire to teach our children the truth about the Word of God so that they know what the Bible is and they know the truths that it contains. And so, Lord, my prayer right now as we close our service and as we get ready to enter into the work week or the school week or whatever it is all of us are about to go to, just reiterate and place this on our hearts and our minds that, Lord, there is truth in the world and you have taught us your truth and you've done it in a way that is plain and clear. And for that, we thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful week.